Hello, everybody. See if we can get started. Welcome, everybody. We're going to have a fairly short meeting today in the middle of July, and I appreciate our commissioners coming in and having a quorum today because we do have to vote on a few things. And want to welcome a new commissioner, Dan Allen Hughes. So, welcome, sir.
Thank you.
And glad to have you here. Appreciate you coming in today, particularly, and then also going through the orientation. And you'll see sometimes we have exciting meetings and sometimes we have rather dull meetings. And Duggan says it has to do with my personality,
We never have dull meetings.
Thank you, Margaret. Ralph wasn't quite as diplomatic. I'm picking on you, Ralph. Anyway, welcome, everybody, and thank you, and welcome, Dan.
Appreciate you
being here. We'll get started. The meeting is called to order July 22, 2009. Before proceeding with any business, I believe Mr. Smith has a statement to make.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the Office of the Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I would like for this fact to be noted in the official records of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I now call the Finance Committee to order. Okay, committee item number one, adoption of supplemental appropriations budget, HB 4586, 81st Texas Legislature, 2009. Mr. Mike Jensen. Mike, please.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Mike Jensen, and it's been very happy and my pleasure to be with the department since June 1st, so I'm relatively new. This presentation is actually in your binder under the Finance tab, but we also have it in a PowerPoint. We'll go through it fairly quickly for you. It's a very brief presentation on the Supplemental Appropriations Bill.
Why don't I go ahead and stop you with new commissioners, and I always need to be kind of reminded, walk through what a Supplemental Appropriations Bill or budget is quickly, please.
Real quickly, they have the basic base bill, the General Appropriations Act, and then they also have omnibus bills that they tack on. They function sort of like riders, where the different agencies have opportunities for additional funds. And this supplemental appropriations bill isn't just for parks and wildlife, but it's for all state agencies. Has nearly 100 sections in it, and we have about 6 or 7 sections that refer directly to the department. And these funds in this supplemental bill, most of them are for the current state fiscal year that ends on August 31st, but there are a couple provisions that actually apply to the next fiscal year that Gene McCarty will address in his presentation. So basically, there is the base bill, and the supplemental bill is add-ons to the base bill that gives certain requirements, might have some contingency requirements contingent upon legislation passing that different agencies can get additional appropriations. And in this supplemental appropriations bill, we did get additional appropriation authority related to Hurricane Ike. I don't know if I explained it well enough for you, but...
No, you did very well. And when's the fiscal year end, and when's the new fiscal year start?
The fiscal year for 2009 is going to end on August 31st, and the new fiscal year begins on September 1st, and that's a state fiscal year. And federal fiscal year is a month later. So there is sometimes confusion when you're talking about federal funds about fiscal year, so I'll try to say state fiscal year generally.
Fair. Any questions? Anybody? No, Mike, great. Thanks for a bit of overview, so that helped me too. Thank you.
This go-around, the Supplemental Appropriations Bill was House Bill 4586. As I mentioned, there were several sections that were relevant to the department, but the three main points that are important on this slide are $15 million additional appropriations. Majority of that's related to Hurricane Ike. There are $12 million that are related to conducting repairs at Galveston Island State Park. Then there's also included within that are the wildlife management areas that were impacted in Southeast Texas. There's a different section that speaks of $2 million specific to Sea Rim State Park. And although this last bullet is in there for $1 million, it's not really related to natural disasters. A couple years ago, the state entered into an agreement through the Department of Information Resources. We call them DIR. They have an agreement with IBM that provides IT data-related support for the largest state agencies in the state of Texas. Our department was very efficient before we went into this contract, and as a result of this contract, we actually we're actually having to pay more. Other agencies are getting some savings, but because we were so efficient, we're not realizing savings for Parks and Wildlife Department. So we need an additional $1 million to contribute towards that statewide contract with DIR and IBM.
Can I stop you there, Mike, because I want to give Carter Smith credit on this. The consolidation probably is the right thing for the state of Texas and the agencies of the state of Texas, the total agencies. You could argue it wasn't the right thing for us. It's costing us a lot more money for all our IT and data needs. And so we have been talking to the leadership and the legislature for the last two sessions about how we're having to take money from other places to cover those costs. And Carter was able to visit with the Lieutenant Governor's office and give them credit, too, that they understood it, and we were able to get this in here. So this is a big deal. Otherwise, it comes out of other budgets, okay, in our departments, wildlife, fisheries, game wardens, wherever. And so this was very important to us. So I want to give Carter a lot of credit.
Well, and Gene, too, and others.
And Gene, you're right. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging.
And our Lieutenant Governor's office. Yeah. I mean, they got it and helped us get this. Just want to make sure.
Mike, it might be helpful, just particularly if I could, Mr. Chairman, for Commissioner Hughes, who hadn't heard it, just and we talked a little bit about this in your orientation, but as you will recall, you know, we had almost $100 million in damages and recovery and estimated rebuilding costs to parks and wildlife facilities associated with Hurricane Ike. And so, although these funds by no means encompass all of the needs that we have to fully rebuild, they do encompass the funds that we can expend in the immediate future on certain projects at our wildlife management areas, and then also all of the advanced master planning and site design and archaeological surveys and natural resource surveys and construction documents to get ready to how we're going to rebuild Galveston Island State Park, for instance. So we're going to need all of that information as we go back to the legislature next biennium to give them a fuller accounting of what we'll need for particularly Galveston Island State Park. But this was a great investment in the needs of the department, and Speaker Pro Tem Island and all of the legislative leadership gave us a lot of support on this. So just want to acknowledge them there, too. So.
We're all on Fed funds. I lost track of our Fed fund.
On the reimbursement, you want to comment on that?
On the reimbursement, on the Article 12 stimulus money, the $1.7 million?
No, he's talking about on the FEMA, on the overarching reimbursement for the funds that we'll expend for the recovery on Hurricane Ike and what we're likely to regain in reimbursement costs. There's still a lot of uncertainty and work that needs to be there, but you want to elaborate a little bit on that process?
I'd have to go back and find out the details. Do you have that?
Fair enough. I'm probably catching those questions.
No, it's I can. Our infrastructure team is working very, very closely with FEMA on estimates for this. And so this is going to be a long, protracted process. There are no easy answers to it. You know, in theory, FEMA would reimburse the agency for 75% of the cost that we have accrued. We should probably not expect to get all of that reimbursement realistically, but ultimately, until we get the work done, we won't know exactly how much they're going to reimburse us for.
And Mike, you're probably not aware, but Gene, maybe you can speak to that when you get up relative to Katrina and Rita.
Okay.
If you don't mind, just kind of general, because it lets you know it's an ongoing issue relative to trying to get funds out from FEMA back into the state, and not just for us, all the states.
The one thing,
and one of your favorite subjects, I can tell.
Chairman, the one thing I will say,
and I'm not trying to get way off, but it kind of all ties together because it's all, you know, we've been hammered Katrina, then Rita, then Ike on that southeast part of our state here, and we're in a constant rebuild mode over there. So,
and Chairman, I don't have the details on the parks, but before I came here, I did sit down with a few folks down at SOC, and statewide they were having a problem.
What's SOC?
It's the State Operations Center, right, which was with the Governor's Division of Emergency Management. A lot of people call them GDEM. The state's overall problem was they didn't have funds to make the match. They had about $100,000 in their account, and at the time they had about, I think it was $110 million. In allowable expenses.
Yeah.
So during this past session, they have addressed that, and I believe they funded the Governor's Division of Emergency Management on a statewide basis to at least be able to cover the state's 25% match, because that has been a problem for at least the last 12 years.
Okay. Well, that already helps.
Yeah.
So,
I'm gonna complicate this one step further,
That's
Chairman.
All right. I'm gonna really make everybody grab. Probably should never ask the question.
No, this is really important because we do have the proposed FEMA reimbursement for all the capital repairs and the replacement of damages.
Yes, I knew.
But the other part of this that Mike is alluding to, for example, our law enforcement team. You know, Pete's team had 400 game wardens that were deployed to the coast in East Texas to help with this, and those expenses that the agency front end loads are reimbursable by FEMA. And so Major Willie Gonzalez, who is our Chief of Emergency Management, worked with FEMA, and I believe we've received most all of the reimbursement on that front.
You have some law enforcement anyway?
Yeah, good. So that's
okay.
Good.
Okay, well, that's good.
Just want to provide that.
Okay, right. Thank you.
That's all right.
Get on all this other stuff. But
well, I'll learn that for the next meeting.
That's all right. I appreciate it.
This is actually the last slide on the supplemental appropriations bill, and the first bill here talks about $1 million is going to be passed through money that comes through the department that is going to be sent to the Texas State Railroad. And I think y'all may already be aware of that, but the underlying scheme of this is there's an operator that has a contract with the Texas State Railroad that has signed a promissory note, and the legislature told us to be the vehicle to get the funding to the Texas State Railroad. So we do have, as a department, a memorandum of understanding with the Texas State Railroad that does have provisions that do hold us harmless in the event that there is something that becomes problematic with the promissory note. Because really, we don't have control over that underlying agreement. We're just being used as a pass-through vehicle. And all those agreements have been approved by the Legislative Budget Board. So that transfer should take place once we have approval from the larger committee from this group. And I have that last bullet in there just as a piece of information. It doesn't really need action, but I want y'all to be aware that the legislature did come up with a retention payment for all state agency employees who have been employed since March 31st through August 1st with an agency who have salaries of under $100,000. The reason I bring it up in this slide is this particular House bill had a provision that excludes all Parks and Wildlife Department folks who are covered by the equity adjustment that was exceptional item number one. So our Schedule C folks and those who are scheduled for an equity adjustment in the next fiscal year on September 1st are excluded from this $800 payment. But the way that this is structured is one of those through the legislature shall. It means every state agency shall make this payment, and they didn't necessarily appropriate funds for it. So every state agency, including our department, is coming up with funds. It's been a not necessarily a struggle, but I think it's been great work with Gene McCarty and Al and staff to come up with that list, because what y'all have approved as exceptional item number one that was approved impacts a significant proportion of staff, at least
1,400.
Out of roughly
3,100.
Good. Okay.
And that's the basic.
And we found the money?
We have the money. We have the money for that. We just need to finalize the list and clean up the list and make sure we do the validation on the dates with Al Bingham and HR.
Let me clarify this, Chairman. There's 1,400 colleagues that will be receiving a salary equity adjustment come September, and then there's a much
1,400 getting salary equity adjustment.
And then there's a much larger percentage.
800.
Yeah.
Also, 14 that many for salary equity. This was our big push in the legislature. So wow. Oh, congratulations. Oh, good. I'm glad. Okay. And then game wardens.
Yep.
Ended up in good shape coming out of the legislature. All law enforcement did. So we're in pretty good shape then. For what, 75% of our group got some kind of salary adjustments, and then the rest will get at least 800. Am I saying that correctly?
That's correct.
Also? Yeah. Good. Okay.
Staff has done a great job. Gene McCarty has done a great job working with Al and Carter and Scott on that. And now that Ross is here, they'll be working as a great team. We have a great team here.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And this last slide is just for informational purposes for this subcommittee. And when you have the full committee as a whole, we'll basically run through the same information on the supplemental appropriations bill, and at that time, we'll ask that you consider this motion at that time. Okay. And that's really all I have for my very short presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Any commissioners, any questions?
I'd like to just thank you and welcome you on board. Great to meet you and appreciate you coming on board.
Thanks. I look forward to being here, hopefully, for a long time.
Where'd you come from?
I came directly from the comptroller's office, before that I worked for the Animal Health Commission as their CFO.
Okay.
Mike grew up right down the street over in Del Valle, so he's a local boy. And his dad had always encouraged him to go to work for Texas Parks and Wildlife. So he's found a good home, and we're delighted to have him. He's been a great addition to the team. So
wonderful.
Thanks.
Gene's happy, too.
Look at him smile. He's beaming over there. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Okay. Now, do I
thought if we just got Gene, we'll go to the next presentation.
We just move into the
next presentation.
Yeah, but isn't this a special call? No, wait.
This is still Finance Committee.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, excuse me. We're still in the Finance Committee. Here, I said I'm not reading myself here.
Mike will come back.
Yeah, then we'll
commission to vote on that.
Okay.
And then we'll just
okay, we're now moving to executive summary. Yep. Gene?
No.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, for the record, my name is Gene McCarty. I'm Deputy Executive Director for Administration. The presentation before you today is an overview and briefing of our fiscal year 10 budget, which we will be requesting you adopt at the August Commission meeting. We have historically had a special commission meeting during the month of July as soon as we kind of finish up the budget preparations so that we can give the commission an overview, kind of a snapshot of the budget, so at least you'll have a little bit of information to base your decision on when you come to the August commission meeting for final adoption of that budget. So I'm going to try to keep this very informal just to let you have as much feedback as you wish to give in terms of the budget, and try to provide you with as much information on the FY10, the fiscal year 10 budget. This is not going to be one of those boring meetings. This is budget stuff. This is riveting, guys. I mean,
well, it is the heart and soul of what we.
That's right.
To get anything done, that's for sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry I said that, Gene. I apologize.
To start with, I do
actually
have
Commissioner Duggan.
I do have Mike Jensen and Lance Goodrum, our budget director, with us here today to help answer any questions that you may have, so that we can provide you as much information as possible. And I'd also like to thank the divisional budget coordinators and our budget staff for a lot of hard work this last summer. Doing the budget after legislative year is always very, very tough, because we get started late. We have to wait until the appropriations finished. But we still have the same schedule. We still have the July commission meeting, and we still have the August commission meeting for adoption. So everybody gets about 2 months taken off of their normal schedule, but they still have to produce the same product. And these guys have done a great job this year, and with a budget that is significantly different than in prior years, and they've addressed all those issues, and I think prepared us a good budget for you to look at today.
Are we going to use the presentation that's in the back of the book here?
Yes, sir.
Good, okay. You may see that under presentation behind budget workshop there. Is that the one we're starting with? Yeah.
To follow along, in the back of your notebook, there's a tab called presentation.
Presentation, yeah.
That is my presentation for today, and you can follow along the slides there.
We won't be voting on that. Here, we'll vote on this.
No, sir. This is
in the August regular meeting up in Fort Worth.
Okay. This is an informational and interactive presentation only, just for your information. Just try to give you as much information about the budget. You can take this information home and think about it, and give me a call later if you want, and we can continue to discuss any issues or concerns that you may have. We will be presenting this budget, or Mike will be presenting this budget in August
formally
for your adoption.
Gotcha.
What we're going to try to do today is go over our FY10 operating budget process. How did we come up with the budget that we have? What are the processes that we use to get there? We will go over the FY10 operating budget and summaries of the different budget categories. We'll go over the fiscal year 10 capital budget. We'll go over our full-time equivalents. That is the number of people, actually positions, we have working for Texas Parks and Wildlife, and how they're allocated. we'll go over some of the key budget riders that are part of the GAA, and the GAA is the General Appropriations Act. You'll see that referenced in a number of different places. That is basically the piece of legislation this particular year, Senate Bill 1, the piece of legislation that the legislature actually has to pass every time they come to town, which appropriates the funding or the authority for state government entities to function and operate. And we will go over other budget issues that I want to make you aware of that will be coming before you in the August commission meeting for adoption. Any questions? Anything else you want to talk about? All right.
That'll be enough.
Well, we're going to try. Last year, this went a couple hours. I'm going to try to get it under that.
Yeah, we're all at the beach, you know.
I'm at the edge of my seat.
You're riveted. All right, good. All right, let me recap the budget process and what we did. We used the appropriation, Senate Bill 1, as our starting point. So we go back and we look at how the dollars are appropriated between the different strategies of the agency. And the way the budget is set out is it's set out by strategy, and strategies principally relate to some of the goals and objectives of the agency in our strategic plan. They relate back to the divisions also, so it's kind of a cross reference between our strategic plan and our divisional function. That's how the budget is laid out, and the Appropriations Act is laid out. So we start there to look at, to make sure that our strategy funding is adequate to go against our divisional funding. Then we establish our operating budgets. In this particular year, we established our operating budgets for our divisions, at least the base budgets, at 100% or close to 100% of what they were funded in the previous year in 2009. We allocated exceptional items. These are the exceptional items that we requested funding above the base through the appropriations process. If you remember, we had 9 exceptional items that we requested through our LAR, our Legislative Appropriations Act, or our Legislative Appropriations request, for this last legislative process in SB 1, and we got a pretty good portion of those actually in some form or fashion. So we allocated those exceptional items to the appropriate strategies and appropriate divisions in building the budget. The other thing that we have to do is we have to balance the Fund 9 and Fund 64 funding that is applied to our support divisions. Because of the fact that we have statutory limitations on the use of both Fund 9 and Fund 64, Fund 9 being our game, fish, and safety fund, principally the source of revenue from Fund 9 is hunting and license sales and boat registration and titling. That can only be used to support the functions of the agency that are associated with game and fish conservation and management and boating safety. Fund 64 is our state park fund that receives the revenues associated with gate receipts and with state parks. It can only be used to operate state parks or support the functions of state parks. So to balance those funding, to make sure that our support divisions, those divisions that do the support work for both state parks and for fish and wildlife conservation, we have an allocation methodology that we work out. And for most parts in parks and wildlife, the allocation methodology is 53% Fund 9, 47% Fund 64. So that's the way you would fund a strict support function like the executive office. Executive office, 53% of the funding that goes into the executive office comes from Fund 9, and 47% comes from Fund 64, so that we stay in balance for a support element as to the amount of effort that it puts into supporting one side of the house or the other. And then additional budget requests for additional money are dealt with only if they bring additional funding and additional authority. So we don't have additional funding or additional funding or additional authority beyond our current base. So we don't have money to hand out, is what that's saying. And our capital items were budgeted at 100%. We have the authority to grow our capital by 25% if we have the funds or we want to shift funding from operating to capital. And we've done that in prior years. Two years ago, we grew our capital by 25%. We shifted money out of operating into capital. The last 2 years, last year and this year, we have funded at 100% capital and not grown our capital because we simply do not have the operating dollars to shift into capital to buy additional capital equipment. So that's how we basically are building our base budget, and that's the process that we went through to develop the budget numbers that we sent out to the divisions for the divisions to then utilize to allocate within their operational functions.
Gene, questions?
Yes, sir.
Oh, please. I'm still confused. When you say capital items budgeted at 100%, 100% of what?
100% of the appropriated authority.
Okay.
Okay. If we were appropriated $1 million for capital, we budgeted at $1 million rather than $1,250,000, which is what we have rider authority to grow our capital to.
Thank you.
Law enforcement, Dan, how is that budgeted? Where is that? How do those dollars flow?
I will get in.
I'll get into that in just a minute.
I'll show the budget by object of expense and then by division.
Okay.
Law enforcement is pretty much a Fund 9 entity.
Yeah,
they're funded almost entirely through Fund 9 and federal dollars. We do get some boating safety federal dollars to support law enforcement. Okay, let's look at how we finance the budget. Our authority to finance the budget comes from the General Appropriations Act. Basically, everything has to tie back to the General Appropriations Act to get the authority to spend the dollars. We get additional funding through Article 9 and Article 12. In this particular case, Article 9 of the Appropriations Act gave us the additional funding necessary to fund the pay raise for the game wardens. Article 9 is an article of the Appropriation Act which deals with all the different authorities in this particular case and/or limitations above and beyond your base budget. In this particular case, it's all your salaries and all your salary structures are in Article 9. We gained additional authority and funding through Article 12, and Article 12 was basically your federal stimulus funds. And so in Article 12, we did get some federal stimulus funds for law enforcement, Byron Justice funds. Our expectation is that we probably will not realize that funding. While the Appropriation Act gives us the authority, it also says it's subject to the grant coming from the federal government, and we do not believe that the state of Texas is actually going to get this grant, so we probably will not get that funding. But just to be on the safe side, we're going to go ahead and budget it and have at least the commission authority to expend the dollars if the grant were to come through. But our expectation and the word we're getting from the governor's office right now is not to expect that. You heard any changes other than that recently?
I'm Peter Flores, Director of Law Enforcement. I've not heard much deviation from that other than that there possibly might be $500,000 in other stimulus money that in lieu of the Byrne grant that might be available to us.
There, just to elaborate a little bit, we don't need to go into too much detail here, but there was a deadline for a grant submission that apparently was missed somewhere in state government, and so that's what's causing us concern about not being able to access those funds. And so if there are some surrogate funds, that would certainly be helpful, because as I recall, there was about $1.3 million or so for...
Yes, there was $1,700,000, but we were one of ourselves and DPS, for example, are in that whole line item.
And my assumption is that was going to be one-time only money, though.
Yes, sir, one-time only. So and it was primarily for equipment, operating, and overtime, both for us and for DPS.
Could probably live with equipment. Well, okay. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, again, not anything we've done. I mean, that didn't come.
No,
okay.
Sir.
No,
sir.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay.
Those have to come. Those are administered through the Governor's Office of Homeland Security. We have to work through there.
Yeah. I think you just answered my question. Is we didn't, the department did not drop the ball.
Okay. No, sir.
And we're not pointing fingers at anyone. We're just either just, I think, with some confusion legitimately, and I don't know all the details, but just those funds, it looked like they're highly uncertain. But if we are able to go back and capture them, we wanted to make sure that we had appropriation authority from y'all to be able to use them.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And then lastly, what the Appropriations Act caps our FTEs, our full-time equivalents. That's the number of people or positions that we can have, the full-time positions that we can have in the agency at 3,178. Now that's a pretty significant growth over last year.
Well,
we had 3,100.
Yeah,
and this growth comes principally through many of the exceptional items requests through the legislative process.
Oh, okay.
And I'll go over those in more detail in just a minute. Next, what we did is we want to crosswalk the General Appropriations Act back to the budget, back to the budget that you will see. The General Appropriations Act through Article 6 budgets $380.9 million to Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. As a point of reference, for FY9, the budget year that we're just ending up right now, the General Appropriations Act appropriated $327 million to Parks and Wildlife. So you can see that budget growth, and that budget growth is principally through those exceptional item requests that we make. Article 9 appropriates $2.3 million. Like I said, this is principally the game warden pay raise and also a little bit of money associated with a new license plate that it's not a new license plate. The license plate has been, it's one of the specialty license plates that's been in existence for a number of years, but they've now transferred it to Parks and Wildlife for management as opposed to TxDOT. And then Article 12, the stimulus funds, federal stimulus funds at $1.7 million. This is a grant through the governor's office that we do not think we're going to get. It was principally for equipment for border security, river boats and safe boats, and overtime for wardens working in border security. Our adjustments that we make to the appropriations to get this budget. $716 million in appropriated receipts. This is principally increases in federal funds
appropriated receipts. $716,000.
Yes, sir. $716,000 in appropriated receipts. $3.1 million in federal funds. This is increases to our federal fund base through SWIG, or state wildlife grants, and some of our other wildlife restoration and sport fish restoration funds. About $1 million of this is in oyster disaster relief program. Interagency contracts of $61,000. Supplemental appropriations, that was what you just heard from Mike. Remember, he brought to you $15 million. We're going to UB that because most of the vast majority of that is capital construction, and we will be UBing that forward. So we're going to be looking at $14.6 million of that $15 million coming forward from FY09 budget, which you are approving it at this commission meeting, to be in the operating budget for FY10 through the UB process. And so it becomes an adjustment at this point.
And what does UB mean?
It is unexpended balances that we are allowed to move forward from one fiscal year into the next.
which normally they don't like to do for obvious reasons. They want you to spend it or lose it.
They do not like to do a lot of UB in this particular case because it was a supplemental appropriations and it had a two-year lifespan. There is the expectation that it will be UB'd from 1 year to the next.
But that did, you know, you were going to allude to that. Okay, now these are capital construction projects. We all know how long they're going to take.
Mm-hmm. They have...
Are you going to be able to roll them into 11 if you haven't gotten it done in 10?
No, sir. They've got a two-year lifespan, so we need...
9?
They're 10, going 11. From 10 to 11. They'll go from... They have a two-year lifespan from the date in which they are... they were appropriated, which was June 19th of 09.
So we do have until June of 11. Yep. Okay, good. Okay, good. We're not going to get all that done in 10.
No.
They just have to be encumbered. So
as long as you have contracts.
Yep.
Okay. Just so you all know, and Dan, you'll realize, I mean, just to build a bathroom, anything over $25,000, you might as well be able to build a $100 million highway. And the processes that you have to go through relative to state law and requirements. And so it just takes a long time to get a contract in place to get something built. And it's just a reality. I mean, it's not anybody's fault. It's just the way the system works.
Right.
So what happens is a lot of times you can lose some dollars because you can't get there. So that's what I was asking the question about. Do we have to? So I'm glad to hear we have till June of 2011 to get these encumbered. Okay.
And typically the expectation, just Commissioner, so you know, when we get this infusion of funds to help with major capital repairs for our construction projects, there's an expectation that we'll have that expended within 5 years, hopefully before that, but the legislature understands that's kind of our typical cycle and structure. So we will typically carry a fairly large UB or unexpended balance from 1 year to the next, depending on where we are in the cycle of getting our construction funds allocated. So that's something you'll see in all budgets going forward.
But as Gene will tell you, if you have unexpended balances going into another session, you end up spending a lot of time explaining why you have them.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's why you try to get them at least encumbered before you go into the next session.
There's a reasonable cycle that we have to go through, and they understand the construction cycle, but they also really want to see us push it as hard as we can, and that's some of the things the infrastructure's been doing here recently to try to speed up the process and try to get those monies encumbered quicker so that we don't have large unexpended balances going from one biennium into the next. We have another UB of the battleship bonds. Again, this is another situation that of authority that we had in the prior biennium that was to some extent beyond our control as to when we were finally authorized to issue those bonds, which was late in this last fiscal year. And so we've got the bonds now, but we have to do an adjustment and bring them forward into FY10 for expenditure. So you'll have the $25 million for the Battleship Texas restoration bonds will be coming forward as an adjustment. And then lastly, fringe benefits and benefit replacement pay for employees is not in the General Appropriations Act. It doesn't show up in our appropriation stream, but it does show what we do budget it, and it's expenditure. These expenditures come directly from our funds, but they come directly from the comptroller. So, but we want you to budget those so we'd make an adjustment to the General Appropriations Act authority for the budgeting purposes, and that's about $40.5 million. And this is basically your insurance costs and your retirement costs for the employees within the agency. Next, I'd like to go through the exceptional items that were an add-on to this budget, and so that you can get an idea of what additional funds that we picked up through this last appropriations process, which has built our budget. First is our salary equity or our total compensation program. We had originally requested about $20 million. We did get $11 million appropriated. $5.1 million of that $11 million that we were appropriated over the biennium will be coming into this fiscal year 10 budget. This will be used to do salary enhancements, principally in our professional staff across the agency. You'll remember when we developed this total compensation plan, the salary equity initiative through the legislature, we identified several areas in which inside the agency, our biologists principally, that were way underrepresented from the standpoint of their salary when you do comparisons to other state agencies in Texas and other agencies like Parks and Wildlife in other state in other states. Our statewide capital repair and construction, we did receive $28 million of that request. This is principally to go to repair needs across the state. In prior years, we had gotten capital construction authority for repair, but it was limited to state parks. This one is not limited to state parks. It can go to all elements of the agency for repairs of infrastructure and facilities, whether it be wildlife management areas, fish hatcheries, or state parks. We got $750,000 for aquatic vegetation control. We had this in an exceptional item for expanded public access, just for many of our public reservoirs are getting choked with aquatic vegetation, where we can't even use many of our boat ramps and many of the boat lanes and get access to many parts of the reservoir. So we did get some additional appropriation to start addressing some of that problem. We received $740,000 for a panhandle off-road vehicle recreation site. This is going to be a new facility up on the Canadian River, and in an area in which one of the few areas in the state which are exempted from the prohibition on the use of off-road vehicles in public riverbeds. And so it's become a real problem and a real issue in that area of trespassing on private landowners and just access and control and general bad behavior in the area. So we'll be trying to get up there and get a little bit of a handle and control on that area. We received some additional FTEs and additional funding to make this happen.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make a funny remark about Commissioner Bivens. Where is he? I'll give him a hard time in August.
If he's not here, I don't think he ought to get the money.
Well, we only got a small portion of the money that we need. So.
Well, a serious question. We say expanded public access. If we're trying to limit riverbed use by four-wheelers, why are we promoting expanded access?
Well, in actuality, what we're trying to do is get control over a area and allow reasonable public access to the area instead of the free-for-all that's going on up there right now. This is not a family use area at this particular point in time, and we would like to turn it into a reasonable public access a public opportunity for anyone who wants to go up there.
I think it ought to be reworded then.
Commissioner, just as a point of clarification, there were a number of items that we had requested as part of that exceptional item to try to expand public use into the outdoors, and there were probably a half dozen things that we asked for. That was the only thing that was funded under that item. So it's a little bit of a misnomer if you look at it just in terms of this Canadian River off-road park. I do want to just say another word about what Gene said, because we did receive half of what we asked for to try to make this work. And as Gene said, this is an area with a lot of unlawful activity. It's going to put a lot of stress on the system to set up a kind of park that we've never operated before ourselves in Texas, which is an off-road vehicle park for people to come to with ATVs and off-road vehicles in a riverbed. A lot of work with private landowners or a lot of security issues. And there's only going to be so much we can do to put this in place in the upcoming biennium. And so we're going to need to be talking with the legislature about some of those challenges and make them aware of what we can and can't do with the funding that was provided. So just want to make sure we set expectations appropriately for this.
Carter, are we talking about having Parks and Wildlife game wardens up there regulating
Well, we have that now when they can. It's the game wardens patrol that. We are actually talking about having a formal park site that would be established there on the riverbed, and in conjunction working with our partners at the National Park Service. And so it would be policed by our state park peace officers, although we'd certainly get assistance from our game wardens up there that would help augment that when appropriate. I mean, there's some weekends, there's an annual sand drag, for instance, that they have up there in which there will be upwards of 20,000 people on this reach of the Canadian River. And so it is a challenge, to say the least.
Yes.
We had a game warden that was shot in that area a few years ago. It's a dangerous situation.
It's not a good situation for law enforcement, for general public, and of course they opted out. They wanted to leave the river open. So they made their choice, and now the private sector, the landowners, are really having a problem because of the trespassers too. So it's an issue in the river itself, and it's an issue of people going in and out of the river wherever they want to go in and out of the river.
Yeah.
And then now it's become a party scene and the whole thing. So we're trying to get some help for the private landowners up there and the citizens of those counties up there, actually. It's become a real issue. That's why Pete's starting to hang out up there a little more, right, Pete?
You ought to see him on a four-wheeler.
Yeah,
he doesn't wear that seersucker jacket.
Yeah. He's got a flag jacket up there. But it has become a law enforcement issue, hasn't it, Pete?
It's a problem.
Go ahead and speak. I think we better speak to this because this is, I think, going to be an ongoing issue we're going to have to keep dealing with in this commission, in this Texas Parks and Wildlife Agency.
Again, for the record, Peter Flores, Director of Law Enforcement. Our people in Region 6 up in the Panhandle have been working the Canadian River consistently for a while, a long, long time,
yeah.
And in a number of manners. The sand drag is a big event, and we work very closely with local law enforcement, sheriff's offices, the National Park Service, to try to, you know, have some keep the peace in the area, and it's quite an event. Billy Heffley was the warden who was shot there about 6 years ago. There was a murder that occurred that he walked up upon, and it was in a fight for his life, and came out all right. But it's one of those deals where hopefully with a state park established there, our state park peace officers there on a permanent basis and augmented by the game board service and working in the mechanism that's already established, we'll try to get a handle on that in the Canadian River.
This is the only river that opted out, I can't remember. Is this the only place we're really having the problem now?
Yes, sir. The Canadian, the Red River, but the red is in Oklahoma. The Red River itself is Oklahoma.
You said they opted out. I mean, who opted out?
There was a specific legislation, I think it was SB 155, that precluded driving motorized vehicles in a publicly owned riverbed. And so there was a provision in that legislation that excluded both the Canadian and Red Rivers from that prohibition.
Why?
There was an interest by...
That's right. I'm interrupting. I was very involved in that.
Yep.
This was before I was a member of the commission because of some land holdings and others that a bunch of us got involved, Santa Reagan, Houston, other groups, to stop it because it was becoming a major issue in all of the rivers. I mean, but the only way to get it passed was an opt-out provision in there. And it was just the legislation and the votes you had to have. So we got, you know, I guess 99% of the rivers and streams and public waterways in the law, and they opted out. And now they're, unfortunately, hindsight 2020.
They opted out, the county commissioners opted out?
They're the ones that put pressure on the state legislators from that area to say, you know, we want an opt-out clause where we can make our own local choice. And that was the only way we could get the bill passed.
All right. Anything else on that one? State park fiscal controls. As you know, we've gone through a process after the state auditor's office audit 2 years ago, in which we've implemented a much more robust fiscal control system within state parks. But that has cost us considerably in terms of manpower and effort to implement that, to have segregation of duties and the other things that we needed. We asked for funding and received it, and this brought with it a significant number of new FTEs and the funds to support their salaries so that we could so we could have the number of people in the offices in state parks to keep to uh, provide adequate physical controls, but we could get the rangers back in the field doing their work and doing their interpretive and the maintenance and the customer service work that we needed them doing, as opposed to being in the office doing physical controls. So this is a very good exceptional item, and we appreciated getting this one.
So these are dollars we got, but not a demand for more FTEs. So these are dollars to use with the FTEs we put in place starting 2 years ago.
No, we got out of this, we got 35 additional FTEs with these funds.
We need 35 additional FTEs?
Yes, sir.
We actually asked for more.
I couldn't remember that. Okay.
We had asked for about a...
I thought we'd already added those.
You're talking
about adding the parks themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Not the auditors we'd added primarily.
Right. Okay. These are actually principally clerks.
Yeah, and they'll be out in the parks themselves.
Yes, sir.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, this one, 35 new auditors.
Lord, we have more auditors than... Anyway, their business is 10 times our size. Yeah.
IT data center consolidation, as Mike had talked about in terms of data center consolidation, the $1 million additional funding we got in FY9, we had asked for additional funding going into the next biennium in FY10 and FY11 biennium, which we received through an exceptional item budget, and we'll have $1.5 million of additional funding for to address that data center consolidation needs. And then land acquisition and development, $9.3 million. Governor's Border Security Initiative, $825,000. This will fund 15 new FTEs on the border, and these will be 15 new game wardens that we will put along the border. That's in addition to the 15 that we received last biennium.
Okay, now, just to get some clarification, border defined as, is that including going up the coast to Houston, for example, or did that get cut out of it?
That's
strictly the border.
We're defining the border as being that portion of the state that is along the border with Mexico.
Okay. One time that part of that had been, I mean, they really kind of wanted us to do Homeland Security all the way up the Texas coast to, along with the border. So this has been part of the change that's going on.
There was a great deal of discussion that the ports,
yes,
that port cities were serving as border security and homeland security, but we're not interpreting it as that. Yes, sir.
On the land acquisition, that's not a UB item, and that's not Eagle Park.
It is. It is a UB item, but it's not a UB item. They reappropriated the funds that we had already received. The $9.3 million that we had received from the sale of Eagle Mountain Lake, they reappropriated it to them. They didn't have to do that. We had UB authority for those funds. We could have UB'd them, but they chose to go ahead and reappropriate them.
Okay.
You can handle it either way. And in this particular case, they chose to reappropriate it. Now, it's not additional.
$9.3 million. There is another $4 million more or less in the base budget for land acquisition purposes that we have. But yeah, this 9.3 does tie back to Eagle Mountain Lake.
We received an additional 21 FTEs and $386,000. Through Rider 27, this is the rider that provides us the authority to utilize any funds generated above the biennial revenue estimate. And in this particular case, they also gave us 21 FTEs specifically for the purpose of state park to provide additional state park seasonal help to address those peak service needs that we have in the state parks. We received off-highway vehicle decal receipts of $368,000. This was about two biennium ago. We created the off-road vehicle decal program. Basically, if you're operating an off-road vehicle on a public land, you need to have purchased a decal from the department. Is generating about $120,000 a year in revenue right now. We'd only been appropriated $40,000 in per year in previous biennium, so we're burning down some balances and current revenue and projected revenue. These will principally go into a grant program to utilize as either matching funds or direct grants for local communities for the development of off-road vehicle parks. State park weather-related damages, $10 million. This is another bond issue, and it's to address some weather-related damages that we've had at three parks specifically. Mother Neff State Park up near Waco, which is from time to time inundated by Lake Belton. I believe it's Lake Belton that backs water up into the park during flood events. So this would allow us to move some of the facilities, principally offices and other major infrastructure, out of the floodplain up into higher land. Also, Government Canyon has received some flooding events over the last couple of years. Before it stopped raining, I guess that's 4 years ago.
And it had to be.
and Paladura, we continue to have problems with some of our facilities that are in the flood plain down in Paladura. So this will allow us to move some of those facilities up to higher ground. Technical adjustments for plates of $137,000. They basically gave us some additional appropriation authority for the license plates that we saw. The Schedule C salary increase of $1.4 million. Bexar County Special Needs Park.
I want you to explain the difference. Schedule C, just so I understand.
Schedule C is game wardens. Our game wardens are on Schedule C. Schedule C is that pay schedule for all of your principal law enforcement of the state, whether it be DPS, TABC, or game wardens. And Schedule C received a salary increase this last year, and so these are the funds associated with that. Bexar County Special Needs Park, $5.5 million. This is an additional appropriation for a grant to Bexar County to be a matching funds for a special needs park that's being developed there, which would provide outdoor recreational opportunities for individuals with special needs.
It's a very unique situation driven by Gordon Hartman down there in San Antonio. It doesn't happen very often, so I'll give him credit. He has a special needs daughter and got involved, and one thing led to another, and he's pushed this through the legislature. And we're kind of they decide we're the guys that are going to deal with it. And that's fine.
But
it is fairly easy to pass through.
We're basically pass through of grant funds, and those will go through our local park grant program. And the good thing about this is these are funds in addition to, they're not taken out of.
That's what you worry about sometimes. They'll say, okay, do it, and then you got to use your own agency money.
And then lastly, a contingency for House Bill 1745, which was a bill that transferred the Marine Conservation License Plate from TxDOT to Texas Parks and Wildlife for management purposes, and we get appropriated the funds for that plaque that is the Gulf Coast Conservation's license plate, so we will be passing those through the Gulf Coast Coastal Conservation Association now. All right, so that's the highlights of our exceptional items. Let's take a quick look at the budget and how the method of finance lays out. We see here about $136 million of this budget is in general revenue. That's 29% of our budget is general revenue. This is principally, we've got the general revenue at $136 million is the biggest portion of that is the transfer of sporting goods sales tax. Okay? So, of this, $55 million of that is sporting goods sales tax that's going to state parks. $18 million of that is sporting goods sales tax that's going to the local park grant program. and $1 million of that is the sporting goods sales tax transfer to the capital fund, which will go to fund capital construction and repair in the state parks. So that's $74 million of that $136 million is sporting goods sales tax. Fund nine, as I said, that's our game fish and water safety account. That's $129 million. Account 64, that is our basically our gate receipts from state parks at $41 million. Our federal funds, these are Wallet Bro, Dingle Johnson, and Coast Guard boating safety funds at $53 million. Other GR dedicated, these are some of our smaller GR dedicated accounts that we have specially set up for, whether it be shrimp license or other kind of specialty uses at $5.8 million. Our kind of a general other category at $4.9 million, and our bonds at $96.3 million, or 21% of our budget. So that's kind of a summary, a quick high level summary of our I guess allocation of our funding methodology. Any questions on that?
Gene, where do the license sales, hunting license, fishing license sales, is that in the
That's in
general?
Fund 9. Fund it goes
nine, okay.
Into Fund 9, our boating safety, our game fish, and wildlife boating safety fund.
And Park 64 is where entrance fees come, those kinds of things. Gene, maybe an interesting question, or interesting, maybe you can answer a question. If you look at our total $468 million, how much of it do we raise relative to all the things that we do? You know, of course, hunting, fishing licenses, trailer fee, I mean, A to Z.
Well, the principal funds that we have direct responsibility for raising is the Fund 9, the $129 million, and the 64, which is the $41 million. Now, you could argue that we have direct impact on the federal funds because they're reimbursements and they're excise taxes on manufacturers of hunting and fishing items at $53 million. And you could make a similar argument on at least $74 million of the GR, which is sporting goods sales tax. But that we directly raise ourselves is Fund 9 at $129 million and Fund 64 at $41
million. I give you, yes, sir, Reed.
Would you explain the federal funds? What is that again?
Federal funds are those funds that are the principally reimbursement grants that we get through Wallet Bro, which is Sport Fish Restoration, or Dingle Johnson. Our Pittman Roberts, which is wildlife restoration.
Right. Gotcha. Thank you.
And we also get some game or some boating safety dollars from the Coast Guard.
But those dollars are, most of them are coming from excise, I mean taxes and various things on,
yes, sir, on
certain types
goods.
Of sporting goods, ammunition. Okay.
Fishing tackle,
all the things. So it kind of, yeah, that's your point about it being somewhat directly related.
Yes.
Not coming out of general revenue.
It's not coming out
of Washington. It's actually being created in some form or fashion.
Yes.
Okay.
Your question, Yelena, how much of this is appropriated out of the legislature pocket?
Yeah, and you know, we're one of the few agencies that has potential to actually raise some money through, obviously, licensing fees, yeah, and boat trailer fees and those kinds of things, and then of course with the state parks and entrance fees and the various charges and concessions there. So, and that's what we're trying to push, is trying to figure out how to raise more and more dollars ourselves for obvious reasons.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, as you know, it's 37% is direct of our budget we raise directly.
Yeah.
Anything else? All right. Let me go over our different budget summaries and the different elements within the agency of how we're budgeting these dollars. Let's start by object of expense. As you can see, of the $468 million that we're applying to the budget, $146 million of it is going into salary and other personnel costs. $76 million is going into operating costs. $39.7 million is going into grants. That's our local park grants, along with $12 million that we're passing through to the GLO for coastal erosion. $40 million is benefits. That's basically the what we're paying in terms of retirement benefits and insurance cost benefits for our employees. $158 million is in our capital budget. That's a capital budget, not only just capital construction, but also capital equipment acquisition. And $7.5 million is in debt service. And that's debt service for the number of different bond issues that we currently have, and the new bond issues that we have gotten authority to issue in this coming year. That's $28 million. In that original capital construction, and the $10 million for the other weather related construction needs.
How much did you say the portion was for the GLO pass through for coastal erosion?
$12.5 million.
Well, I thought the local park grants was 15.8 or 15.6.
It's local park grants are about $20 million when you add in some federal funds and some other available funding that we have there. They're almost $20 million.
What's the sorry, then that still leaves you
about $7 million in grants that we make that are federal funds that we have for boating access. Comes out of Wallet-Bro, Dingle Johnson, and then we also have
boating ramp.
Yes, boat ramps. We make direct grants to local communities, and we also have trail grants. Some of the funds that we've gotten, some federal funds that we've gotten for off-road vehicle trail development. So that's kind of the breakdown of $20 million for your local park grants, about $7 million for your boat and trails, and about $12 million for your GLO pass through.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other questions on the budget by object of expense? Okay, let's look at the budget by division. Administrative resources at $9.3 million, or 2% of your budget. Coastal fisheries at $19.2 million. Communications at $9.9 million. Department wide at $25.5 million. And I'm going to come back and give you a specific breakdown of all the dollars that are in the department wide budget. That's kind of a budget that we've created that handles a lot of expenses that address issues across divisions. They're not these aren't expenses that are division specific. Executive administration at $2.8 million, human resources at $2.1 million, information technology at $14.5 million, and remember, within the information technology is all the funding that we're using for data center consolidation. Infrastructure at 8.5, inland fisheries at 19.1, law enforcement at $60 million. I think that you were asking a question of how much earlier, Chairman, you were asking a question about law enforcement. Law enforcement has a budget of $60 million.
Yeah, and it's good because it adds a percentage too. It's another thing I was interested in.
You
spend a lot of money over there, buddy.
Almost 13% of the budget. Legal at $1 million, state parks at $91 million, local parks at $28 million, wildlife at $28 million, our capital construction at $123 million, land acquisition at $11.4 million. This gets to the point that Carter was talking about earlier. We have the $9.3 million that was directly associated with the sale of Eagle Mountain Lake, but we also have $2.1 million that is half. We had $4.3 million last year for the whole biennium. We take that $4.3 million and divide it in half. have half of it in this year of the biennium, half of it next portion of the biennium, so that's the other 2.1 to bring our total land acquisition funding.
To that 10, and you got another 2.
Yes, sir. And then the GLO transfer at 12.6 million. Any questions? I went through our budget by object of expense and then our budget by division. Let's look at department-wide, that $25 million that we have in department-wide. $7.5 million of that is for debt service, and that's basically paying the debt service on all the past bond issuance and the new bond issuance, which includes Proposition 8 bonds, Proposition 4 bonds, and the bond issuance for the freshwater fish hatchery. Construction and
fish hatchery is being built as we speak.
Yes, sir. Construction and capital items at $4.7 million. This is basically Fund 9 capital construction that we haven't allocated. We have it here as a pot. We haven't identified the projects that we want to allocate those dollars to, so we're holding them here in the department wide until those projects are identified and the dollars are allocated. Payments to license agents at $3.7 million. We pay our license agents who sell our hunting and fishing licenses a transaction fee on every license sold.
How much is that?
It's 5% of the license value, and that is about $3.7 million. And then our license system cost, which is $3 million, and that's basically the fee that we pay Verizon for managing the license system. And that's an additional cost. So the license system, which just roughly, you know, generates $90 million, we're paying $7 million in basically administrative costs. Yes, sir.
This probably isn't the time to get into a full-blown discussion about it, but it seems to me that if we sold and promoted more online sales of licenses, we could save a substantial amount of those commissions. Keep the commission, instead of paying out that 5%, keep that 5% ourselves.
That is true, and we're running numbers on it and looking at it all the time. The real issue for us is fulfillment.
Is what?
Fulfillment, because while you sell that license over the internet, someone still has to print that license and all those tags out, fold it up, put a form letter on it, and mail it to you. Because you have to get you can't just print a license out at your home. You have to have a license that has the controlled tag systems and everything. So the fulfillment costs are, you know, kind of a wash right now. We're trying to figure out how to drive our fulfillment costs down to where maybe we could become more efficient and maybe save money through the internet licensing system. One thing, certainly the most controversial part of that is, well, let's try to figure out how you can print your license at home off of your printer and not have to have a fulfillment, and then you drive down your costs significantly. And that's where we're going, is to paperless licenses, and that will save you a lot of money. But you're absolutely right. We need to drive people to that technology.
On your license agent, another thing I always wondered is, why are we paying that commission? A lot of people, it helps bring traffic into their stores.
It does. It does. We continue to negotiate lower and lower fees, and have over time. We're paying a lot less to our license vendors today than we were several years ago when it was all paper licenses and with the little carbon paper and all that kind of stuff.
Right, now that's more work, you could argue, but now it's
But it's a loss leader for them, though, Chairman. Really, if you look at how much we pay them for a license and their transactional costs, and certainly it's a convenience.
You're talking about the transaction itself.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, it's driving people into their stores.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
That's what
bringing and driving.
But again, then we
bring people into the store.
They're buying hunting and fishing equipment, and
exactly.
we're
they're going to
realizing
store, they're buying beer or whatever they're buying.
Yeah. Yeah. It does cost some clerk time, and especially during certain times of the year, that can be a bit of an annoyance to them. And
times that the clerk doesn't know how to run the machine either.
We're here, and they're clueless on how to run it. Yeah, no, I understand. And I understand your issue, too, and I know you have driven down the cause, at least since I've been here, the last 4 or 5 years, but, again, okay. We obviously, you're focused on it.
Yes.
This is a place we've got more potential to create more dollars.
We continue to look at how we can use technology to save us money, decrease
right.
our costs, and provide more convenience for the customer.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
The $3 million, what was that payment?
The $3 million is what we pay Verizon to manage the system. We pay them a transaction cost for every license sold. They own the system, the license system. They developed it. They basically incurred all the cost of developing our license system, so they own it, and we pay them a transaction cost.
Regardless of how it's generated, we pay them?
Yes, sir. Okay. State Office of Risk Management, about $760,000. This is our workman comp payments. Airport Commerce Park, we rent another fairly large office complex here in Austin, fairly close to here, and that's our cost of annual rent on that facility. General budget of $1.2 million. This is basically emergency funds that we have set aside just in case something major breaks. Oracle project. This is basically the rewrite of our financial system that we've been working on for a number of years at $395,000. Claims and settlements at $200,000. This is always in our base budget and is available there for legal claims and settlements. Riders 25, 27, 30, and 14. At $3.3 million. Of this $3.3 million, $221,000 is for Rider 14, which is license plate receipts. We're holding these dollars in department-wide until we find out how those license plates are going to perform over the year, and then we allocate them to the divisions. If they underperform, then we don't allocate as much money. If they overperform, we don't necessarily have appropriation authority for them to overperform. But if they underperform, we don't allocate as much money because it's kind of a you got to raise it to spend it situation. So we hold those monies in department wide. $750,000 for the statewide aquatic vegetation program. Remember, that was an exceptional item. Well, we're holding those dollars in department wide right now until we determine how we want to allocate them.
What rider would that be?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's the rider 25.
Oh, 25. Sorry. Okay, gotcha.
And then rider 27, $2.3 million. If you remember. We received $5.1 million of total authority through Rider 27 for the salary equity.
Okay.
We've allocated about $2.7 million of that to the divisions for the first round of salary equity. We are going to see how licenses perform, license sales perform through mid-year, and then we'll do a second round. And in the meantime, those dollars are sitting in our department-wide budget. And then Rider 30, which is our off-road vehicle recreational grants, at $48,000. Again, we're holding those dollars till we see how the stamps perform, and then we'll allocate those to the appropriate division. And then the motor pool of $64,000. We've had this in department wide for a number of years, and basically that's to replace vehicles in the department wide motor pool. Questions on department-wide budget?
We're not replacing very many vehicles.
No, sir. It's not a very big motor pool either. Every division has their own motor pool, but we do have one central agency motor pool here in Austin for Austin staff to utilize. I believe we only got 12 or 14 vehicles in that motor pool, and we replace a couple every year or so.
Commissioner, this is not our replacement schedule for the entire state.
No.
Okay, yeah, just for the Austin-based motor pool.
At one time it was, though.
Yeah.
It was bad. We were in bad shape. How are we in vehicles as an aside? We've got to be better.
Oh, we're much better than we were.
That's how they were running. That's right.
With the new funding that we received for state parks last year, last biennium, that got state parks up and running. Of course, it will take them a number of years to get caught up, but they do have the funding to do that. Law enforcement's in very good shape.
Good.
I think Inland and Coastal are in reasonable shape. We have a reasonable replacement schedule. We're a little behind in wildlife, but we're looking at ways to address that. Let's look at our capital budget.
How many vehicles do you think this agency runs?
Over 2,000. I can't remember exactly what was
a lot.
Scott, do you know the motor pool numbers?
No.
It's well over 2,000.
Yeah, I'm just asking your estimate. Yeah. A lot of vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at our capital budget by category. Our first category is major construction. Our capital budget, it was $50 million, and then we have $77 million in UB. And that's unexpended balances that we're moving forward for a total of $127 million in our major capital. Most of this is bonded dollars, although some portion of that is direct appropriation, principally in Fund 9. But it's fairly minimal amounts, about $3.7 million a year.
Does that include the battleship?
That's included in battleship.
That's included in that $25 million.
Yeah, it's in that $77 million UB.
Plus a lot of the bond money that we got for state park repairs in the 80s, $44 million that we're
Is it moving along?
It is moving. In fact, we expect to get most of that encumbered in the fall of this coming year. So I think we're making a lot of headway. They're working hard on that.
Those are dollars from not last session, but the session before.
Some of them go back to biennium.
But remember, we only got approval to start using those funds really back in August or September. So basically,
so
less than a year ago.
Yeah, that's right. You had to, go through.
Good artifact of timing. We're going to get those encumbered by the fall. By the January meeting, you'll see that go down appreciably.
Y'all are more patient than I am.
Right.
Well, crazy.
Construction minor repair is $3.44 million. This is our minor repair program in state parks. This is the first year that you've seen this line item this way. It used to be just embedded in state parks operational budget. This last year, the legislature chose to pull the minor repair program out and line item it in our capital construction. So that's the minor repair program at $3.44 million. Land acquisition, as you see, the 2.15 that I talked about is our base funding for land acquisition, and then the 9.27, which is Eagle Mountain Lake, bringing your total of 11.4. Information technology at $6.0 million. It's important to note that of this IT $6.02 million, $4.2 million of that is directly associated with data center consolidation. The remaining dollars are what we have available to us to buy technology, whether it be computers, mainframes, etc. Transportation items, this is principally your vehicles, but it's also boats and boat motors, at $7.5 million. Other capital equipment, this is lawnmowers, tractors, that sort of thing, at $1.69 million. And then the master lease program at $130,000. Questions on capital budget? Let's go on to our FTE recap. At in 2009, we had a FTE cap of 3,100.1 FTEs. We budgeted 3,220.1. This was basically a 3.8% lapse rate that we pre-budgeted. To allow people to keep people on and have the people that we needed in the face of turnover and other things. That worked fine. We did not exceed our cap in FY9. In FY10, we have a cap of 3,178. We're budgeting 3,296, which is a 3.7% lapse. We expect that we should be able to reach that just as we did last year through management of turnover. If we're pushing the cap, we'll kind of slow down our hiring rate. If we're not, we'll try to speed it up. So we've historically managed our FTEs in that way in terms of just managing how we do replacements and turnover.
Well, we have part-time going.
Yeah, part-time. We have seasonal employees.
If you have a seasonal employee who's working for a couple of months,
especially in the parks,
and they're only if they're only working for a couple of months and they're only working half time, then they're really a 0.1 FTE. Because a 1 FTE is an individual who's working 12 months out of the year, 40 hours a week.
That's why.
Theoretically, that could be 3 or 4 people filling that one hole.
Like in the summer.
Part-timers. Right. Yeah, like in the summer in the parks, particularly, where we get a lot of part-time people.
Yeah. Let's see how our FTEs are allocated per division. Administrative Resources at 138 FTEs. Coastal Fisheries at 201. Communications at 90. The Executive Office at 29. Human Resources at 27. Information Technology at 91, Infrastructure at 148, Inland Fisheries at 225, Law Enforcement at 657, Legal at 11, State Parks at 1,339, Local Parks at 17, Wildlife at 321, giving us a total of 3,296 FTEs that we have budgeted.
And you have that budget, but our cap is 3,178 or 76, whatever. Might explain
3,178.
Explain the difference between those numbers and how that works.
The cap is the number that we are authorized to have, that we cannot exceed those number of FTEs, and we have to report that to the Legislative Budget Board every on a quarterly basis. So you cannot have expended more FTEs than that in a given year. But you can budget more, and an individual who is, if they're not on the payroll at any given time, they're not counted as an FTE. They may be in your budget as a person, but they're not. They don't exist if they're not here.
They're not employed.
If they're not employed.
Yeah.
So because of turnover, historically the agency has run turnover rates that are in the 10% range, 10 to 12%. We're expecting that to go down, quite frankly, given the economic climate. We probably will not have that kind of turnover rate, but we're only budgeting 3.7% at this particular point in time, so we should be able to manage that in that regard.
Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, I just want to make sure. When I first came aboard, it took me a while to figure it out. But okay, I just want to make sure everybody understood it. Okay.
All right. Let's look at key riders real quick. Rider 17, this rider gives us the ability to grow our capital budget if we're using federal funds. Rider 25 is a rider that directs how we use that $750,000 of statewide aquatic vegetation funding that we got. Rider 26 is a sunset contingency rider. It basically says if we incur additional costs associated with our sunset bill, then we get to use our own money to do it. It doesn't really appropriate new money for it. Rider 27, really Rider 26 basically says any costs associated with implementing sunset are reasonable, acceptable costs for the agency. Rider 27 is appropriation of receipts out of GR and dedicated accounts. This is the rider where we get additional appropriation authority for funds that we raise that are in excess of the comptroller's biennial revenue estimate. If the comptroller in their revenue estimate said we're going to raise $100 million and we actually through the year get $110 million, that additional $10 million we get the authority through this rider to expend. And that's the case this year for our salary equity program. Basically if we raise additional funds, we can use those dollars for our salary equity program. Rider 28 is an informational listing. This is the first time they've done this. This basically is just informational on how the sporting goods sales tax is allocated. Rider 32 is the rider that authorizes us to utilize this $5.5 million of additional funding for the special needs park. Rider 33 is the is Game Warden Academy rider. This is a good rider that Pete and law enforcement worked hard on, and we got in and this helps us with our FTE cap, quite frankly. What this says is when a game warden cadet is in the academy, they don't count as an FTE, so they don't count against our FTE cap.
That is good. Yeah.
So this allows us to expand our FTEs a little bit. And then Rider 35 is a local park grant to Missouri City. This is kind of the opposite of Rider 32 as we were talking. This actually directs us to spend $1 million at Missouri City as opposed to giving us of existing appropriation as opposed to giving us additional appropriation. Other budget issues, a couple of things I want to talk about real quick that we'll be coming to you in August is a modification of our budget policy. In August every year you adopt a budget policy for the agency, which kind of directs us as to how the commission wants us to manage our budget. In this particular case, I want to make two amendments to that budget policy. The first one is that over the last few years the commission through several programs and through several license fee increases have dedicated certain funds associated with those fee increases to specific purposes. And in this particular case, I'm talking about shrimp license buyback. The commission dedicated the fee increase on a number of commercial licenses back in 2000 and 2001 to the shrimp buyback program. We have and they also dedicated the full portion of the $3 increase on the saltwater stamp to buyback. We are raising a little bit more money than what's necessary through those programs, and rather than dedicate all of those dollars specifically to that purpose, we would like to be able to utilize those all of the or use the revenue that's in excess of what we need for to fulfill the shrimp buyback program, which right now we're currently budgeting about $1.2 million a year to the shrimp buyback. But those additional funds beyond above that, we would like to be able to use for any of the statutory purposes that those funds are authorized. Which in this particular case, it's commercial fishing licenses, which could be used for any of the fishery and law enforcement initiatives, and then the saltwater stamp funds, which could be used for management, protection, enhancement of saltwater resources. And so we would like to basically ask the commission to allow us to I guess not have that commission dedication for those funds above what's currently being utilized for shrimp license buyback. Any questions on that particular issue? Additionally, we would like to change the donation approval. Right now, when we get a donation in, the budget policy requires the signature and approval of both the chairman of the commission and the chairman of the finance committee. And what we would like to ask is that it be an and or, not the chairman of the commission and the chairman of the finance, but it be either the chairman of the commission and or the chairman of the finance committee, so that we could expedite the movement of those donations into budgeting in a quicker manner. So that would be the two things that we will be asking you to adopt in as amendments to the current budget policy. We'll be asking you to do that at the August commission meeting. Any other questions? Wasn't that riveting?
I was at the edge of my seat.
Very good.
All right.
Very good.
I didn't fall asleep.
Any other questions, discussions, or issues of concern for the budget? As I said, we're giving you this opportunity to have kind of a quick snapshot. You can look at this information and call me at any time, and we can further discuss any issues or concerns that you have.
We have summaries behind, too, let you know, tabs back behind.
I think we're fortunate, really, in these times that we are as in good a shape as we are. And we have so many of our other states and other areas that are not fighting the situation we're in. So.
Absolutely. I think we a couple of things. I mean, I think the state as a whole fared well, and Parks and Wildlife particularly, I think we came out of the session in pretty good shape.
Please.
Well, I give everybody credit. Of course, staff, Carter and Gene and others, and then all the commissioners helped when needed. And so, you know, over the last 4 to 6 years particularly, I think we've built up some credibility and spent a lot of time on education between sessions. We learned a lot of lessons about doing that relative to, you show up the day they show up, you're in trouble. I mean, you're just one in 10,000 others showing up. And if you haven't spent a little time on education and process and what you're going to be looking for before you get there, especially leadership, you're in trouble. I mean, that's some lessons I've learned anyway. And so I think it paid off this time, don't you, Jay?
I think so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we had a good session. And luckily, you said the state's in good shape financially relative to certainly any other large state, that's for sure.
We also had some very, very strong support from constituent groups. Texas Outdoor Partners in particular was there, Texas Wildlife Association, Texas Conservation for Coalition. I mean, they were there day in and day out, and were very, very strong champions for the needs of the department. So really, without their leadership, too, this would have been a very, very difficult budget for us.
But I want to give you all, the department, a lot of credit, too, in working well with all those constituent groups. I think that, as you said, so when we walk the halls, we're walking in lockstep, and I think it really paid off. A good point.
Yeah,
you all managed those relationships very well, I think.
Question for
yes,
you.
Sir.
On this Missouri City directive for $1 million?
Yes, sir.
Is that going to require that we pull that money out of the local park grant funds that otherwise we...
Yes, sir.
We determine based on need and...
Yes, sir. It's a legislative directive to on those dollars that they appropriated specifically to the grant, they want $1 million to go to Missouri City.
Without regard to any assessment by the department?
Yes, that's correct. That's a major improvement over last year.
Yeah,
when we
to be fair, we had
$17 million worth of direct.
Yeah, we really learned some lessons from the last session. So we actually, I'll use whatever term you want, fought back or pushed back enough that there were probably another 15 that showed up at the start or in the session that we were able to say, hey, that's not the way the system works. And they've got to stop. This one literally got snuck in the midnight at the last second when they were signing the bill. Okay, and we won't talk about it any further. You can talk to me later if you want about it. It was just one we were not aware of. And the legislator got it in, and, you know, pretty savvy pro, and he knew how to get it in there. Well, we had no chance of stopping it. So, but we've done a lot better. So we're very aware of this. And again, it's an education process, particularly with leadership, understanding the local grants program has a process in it that makes a lot of sense, but you got to let the process work.
That's the reason I raised it.
Yeah, no, you make a very good point. But again, staff did a great job of holding all we do. Well, like I say, we did so much better than we did the previous session.
I'd also like to say that you've been very generous in handing out credit to the department and the commission and the constituent groups, but you deserve an enormous amount of credit for the time and leadership you've shown. You never ask for it or seek it. I'm just saying it's obvious that your hand has been significant. I thank you on behalf of the rest of us for all you did.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's the big money we're making up here as chairman. So. No, and I thank you there for Al, but you know, this one was an easy, I won't say it's easy because Gene would kill me because it's never easy, but
it's too far away.
But everybody really worked well together, so I just want to make sure everybody gets credit because, you know, a lot of times, yeah, when you're chairman or something, then you tend to get credit, and we all know it's a real team effort, and if you don't have the team effort, it won't work, or at least that's been my experience, and so I just want to make sure that the team is recognized. So I appreciate you recognizing me, but boy, I'll tell you what, this was, and Gene's been through a million of them, a lot more than I have, and don't you think this was certainly one of the smoother ones.
It absolutely was one of the smooth ones.
Yeah.
I appreciate all your work up there and Carter's work.
Well, thank you, but you too, Gene.
Carter's presence was felt.
Yeah, but we had leadership that understood, you know, the education process paid off big time. And then luckily with Joe Strauss, because, of course, remember, he was a new Speaker of the House coming in, he gets it and has real respect for the department, and so we kind of had instant credibility with him. And I think that certainly helped because he was the new guy on the block and he was the one we were worried about. Well, you know, obviously we hadn't focused on him like we had the governor and lieutenant governor's offices and those kind of things. But Joe picked it up quickly and understood what we were trying to accomplish and was a big help for us.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Any other discussion? Okay. This committee has completed its business, and we will move on to the special called commission meeting.